Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Explicit Measures Podcast with Tommy, Seth, and Mike. Good morning, everyone. Actually, this is not really a morning. Just for notes for people who are tuning in, this is a pre-recorded session. Michael had to disappear for a bit, and so I'm not going to be at my computer. Therefore, all the gear is not with me. So this is a pre-recorded session, but if we do our job right, we'll have some chat in the chat when we do the live session. We'll still be able to. I'll probably be online. We'll probably be able to talk there, but we just won't be talking live.
What a week to go on vacation might be. All of Microsoft Build.
the biggest announcement.
Hype. Yeah. So, right.
What we could do now is make up all the things. Like, I can't believe Natural Language Power Query came out.
maybe we should just make this a really dull filler conversation because I'll join right in on Thursday.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll just have the real conversation with the folks from all the Build news, right?
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. I mean, I'll still be around. I mean, I'll probably be up. I mean, actually, if nothing else, I'm going to probably have more time to listen to the Build conference than actually working this week. So all week this week. So anyways, but yes.
You know the thing that they did? It's amazing.
Amazing.
That's amazing.
Biggest game changer in the last 3 years.
That special announcement. Can you believe that?
Amazing announcement.
I wasn't expecting it.
I wasn't expecting it. I'm super shocked.
So you're like full vacation then?
No, it's I'm probably half working, half vacationing. It's going to be like, I'm traveling is really what the thing is. I'm traveling. So it is what it is. Anyways, that being said, jumping into some other announcements, I want to just kind of thank Bernat for coming out on our user group on Thursday last week, a week ago, where he came out and did a really deep dive into calculation groups, how to build them, scripts that he's written, I was just jaw dropped the entire time, just having a lot of fun with it and just really enjoying it. So thoroughly enjoyed that and had a lot of fun with it. So
we did time that well because field parameters came out and the big thing online was, I guess calculation groups are dead because of field parameters. And I think Bernat did a really great job of putting it in its place of what the role of field parameters are and the limitations.
Yeah.
Really talking about, you could do some of the stuff with field parameters, sure, but you can't do all these different scenarios.
Yeah.
And so, and I love the technical side of just the way he demoed. So I want to thank him too, because it was 10 p.m. his time when he did it.
Yeah, he did it really late at night. So he did an excellent job, thoroughly liked it, great presentation, killed it, rocked it all the way through there. And I will admit, there was one comment that came out that I had to respond to on YouTube. It was a gentleman said, they said basically, calculation groups in Power BI Desktop, awesome. The fact that I had to use an external tool, no thanks. I won't use them now. And I think, honestly, I thought that was a very well articulated comment. I mean, it was very short, but I responded to it. I was like, I kind of agree with you. Like, that's a pain point that I have with, like, this is a great tool, but there's no user interface. There's nothing in front of that helps me build the calculation groups for desktop. And so I had to go to external tools to do this. This is going to instantly rule out a lot of people to not even touch the feature. So I thought that was a good comment.
It's definitely a hardcore dev feature, right? The more technical you get.
Yes.
And
job security.
You put blockers, right? Like you have to understand third-party tools. You have to know how to use them. Know the integration.
Yeah.
Like you're just taking huge cuts out of the number of people that are actually that are actually going to get into it. And especially when this isn't the generic business user that uses Power BI feature.
I totally agree with that.
So
anyways,
if you want people to learn it, you have to if you want people to actually adopt
still,
something
it's at least got to be accessible, right?
Yeah,
that's my thing, right?
You have to use a unsupported Microsoft tool, granted an amazing one, but still,
I totally agree with that one. Well, let's get into the topic for today. Topic is around leveraging text inside Power BI. Where do you put it? What do you use it for? Where do you put text-based things inside your reports? So I think this will be an interesting conversation. This is a very open area to discuss. We talk about Power BI being visuals and visual-based, but we need to explain why the visuals are there, what's going on with things. So I'm kind of curious to see where you guys think. And I'm also thinking of this. You could go overboard with how much text you put into a document. I'm kind of looking for, like, for me, and out of this conversation, I'm looking for where is the most valuable placements for text inside the report, right? I don't want to spend a ton of time building a bunch of text all over the report or in the model for that matter. But where do I spend, you know, if I have, you know, a couple hours or two at the end of the report, I got to clean some stuff up, add some text some places, where's the right place to do it? And that's what I'm looking for. Tommy, what do you think? What are your thoughts on the topic today? Any yeah. other thing you want to fill in?
No, I think if people wonder where we think of our ideas for the podcast, just to give everyone an instance, we said we were going to record 50 minutes ago and we just started. Yeah. And it comes from all these conversations that we have, like, did you see that? Oh, yeah. And yes. then that just becomes something. And this was one of these conversations where we were all talking about what people are posting on LinkedIn. And you see these really intense designs on LinkedIn, or at least I've been noticing them, where it's not, it does look more like PowerPoint or Photoshop than it does a Power BI report.
Yes.
And the first thought for us, and I think for me, was, well, that's interesting, because text wasn't used in the way that we're normally accustomed to for the developer mindset of there's a title, there's a data label, there's a text box on another page. It was very much used like really almost like the story, where it was like helper. I don't know. It just in a very like, it looked like Photoshop. It looked like a design that was an actual report. That to me raised the kind of the idea of, okay, what's the real purpose? Not just in a title, which I think obviously is part of this, but how much is it a helper in terms of that's cool that you can do that, mm-hmm. but does that actually help?
I like where you took this, because I think there's actually a lot of, if you look at LinkedIn and like, look at these Power BI reports we created, look at what all these, I think most of the reports that are published on LinkedIn as a look at what I built, they are what I would call, I think there's classification reports, right? I would put them in the era of infographics. The ones that get a lot of shares, the ones that get a lot of, you know, noise around them. Yeah. I mean, they don't look like a report. They look like this super amazing visual thing. You can tell there is a UI designer behind it. There's like a graphic and an image and like all this stuff with it. So there's actually a lot going on with those things. And I think there is a very small group of people in the world that can make Power BI reports that I think look at that level. And that's why people, I think, share those kind of things or like take ideas from people. Like, did you guys see the report that came from the Gartner report recently?
Yeah,
I haven't seen the most recent one.
Okay, so I'll have to see if I can grab the link and put it in the description of the video. But there's the Gartner 2020 bake off, I guess, between all the different visualization tools. And Will Thompson just made an announcement on the Power BI blog. Here's my report. Here's the link to the report where you can go get it. And it's wow. You look at it and go
the 2022 one.
2022 one. Yes, okay, the one that just came out. And so, really interesting. So he's going through, he's using maps and clicking on stuff, and he's telling a data story as he's narrating the video with the Power BI report. And lo and behold, a couple days later, I see a tweet from Miguel Myers. I'm so pleased. 100%. I built this. This is a great report. Yeah. It went so well, and I'm so happy to share this report with you guys. But I mean, he's the upper echelon of the top end report creators that are out there that can actually build things that are like, I'm going to use the term again, it's a data application. It's not a report. It's way beyond a report level stuff.
It's a type of reporting, right?
It's a type. Like, it is a type of reporting, but it's infographic in nature.
100% agree with you, right? Yeah. Like it's got a story to tell. Yes. It's very easy to tell per page.
Correct.
But it's limited in the data that it shows you, and it's designed to make a point.
I would agree
with
that.
It's not an analysis tool, right? It's guiding you, the user, through either the story or very simple, like I'm going to switch out the player or I'm going to see what the team stats are, mm-hmm. or, you know, mm-hmm. It's very powerful, but those are also insanely hard
to build. And you build it once and you're
long,
done.
Long to make, right? Yeah. It takes a long time to build those types of reports.
Yes.
So the value to organizations is interesting because it's the juxtaposition between how fast you can get it out the door and the quality.
Yep.
Right. These are representations of extremely high quality.
Yes.
Which take an extremely long time.
Agreed.
Right. Yeah. So it's like,
yeah,
there's a factor in here that, you know, you typically can't do that on every single report. Like, and to your, I think the thing that makes it even a stronger point is Miguel Meyer, like, there's a single guy, right? And who knows if he has a team, right? But there's a guy, and his only job at Microsoft is to make these things look amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's on the cat team, right? And he helps. He goes.
Do you have that in your organization, right? Like a guy dedicated to UI UX and knows Power BI well enough that he can rip that stuff out.
That's,
I know I don't.
And that's, to me, that's the hard part, right? There's a line here where you either know UI UX,
right,
or you know Power BI. There's very few people that ride that line right down the middle where I know good UI UX design principles, Gestalt principles, good color palettes, can design, like, has the chops. Because when you get to these level of reports that are these infographic level things, like you said, Tommy, you're not using shapes in the in the background from Power BI. You're building a background image and you're plucking out just the data point elements enough such that you can spoof the front end so it looks like this really polished graphical based thing. And cool, it can do it. I'd like to think some of the reports that Power BI Tips produces is you know, we're probably not Miguel Meyer's level, but we're like we're kind of in that tier of people.
I feel our topics thrive when we have one of the questions, and I think we're getting to this, where if you ask 7 Power BI developers the same, like, what is text, you're going to get 7 different answers for, like, what's the purpose of text in a report.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the types of things I think we love talking about. So take a step back here, right? We're talking about the UI UX. The more text we add, Seth, you made the great point, the more we are, in a sense, really paving the road of what story you can tell, where there's really only one, there's not a lot of turns. It's the straight path. The Gartner one's a perfect example. It's amazing, but there's only one path you can go down from start to finish. You can't really, that exploration part of it, especially with these really heavy text. Yeah. I mean, like, how much can you really dive in where the text, let's not say the Gartner, but let's take a lot of text on a report.
I think I would err on the side of the increased amount of text on a report decreases the amount of discoverability, or like you're like increasing the amount of text is increasing the story you're trying to communicate about the data, right?
But I agree with a certain road.
Well,
it's the same thing as having too much going on in a visual.
Yes.
Right.
The
more text you have, the harder it is to digest. Right. So if you have to have a block of text, there are key, you know, emphasis points you can make. Right. You can you can bold the key words that, you know, you want to point out. Italics works as well, as it relates to like the high level areas that you want people to like zip to with their eyes, right, as they're reading it, if you have to produce that. But yeah, I mean, the less text, the better when you're trying to convey a message, for sure.
So
it's not like you're gonna have have a notepad, right, where you're just like, oh, I'm gonna read this novel in a Power BI report.
So let me ask them the super simple question, sarcastically: what is the role of text in data visualization? Like, obviously there's, I know that's a heavy ended question, but honestly, like, let's start there. What is the purpose of text in any visual?
Context.
Yeah, I would echo the context thing. To me, it's like crafting more of that story, right? So I feel like it's the crafting of the story of what you're trying to communicate, right? And so I was in a research and marketing department for a number of years working on stuff with them. And we had like a lot of like generic boilerplate kind of text things that we would have on printed out, and people would want to read it multiple times, right? You know, GDP was up 3% compared to last year of da 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 da. And then, you know, the highest leading sector of increased sales came from this department, right? So you're providing like a narrative of something that people can read, which I think is actually really interesting, because there's actually the Power BI visual that does the I don't remember the name of
narrative,
it.
Narrative Insights or
narrative text.
The narrative text one, I think, is the one where it actually, you can just, you put that on the page and it picks up the context of the page. And that's a pretty interesting visual. I like that one. I don't typically like it that much. I just, the way I build reports or the things I use in reports, it doesn't seem to lend itself to the way I like to build reports. So I'm not a big fan of text things, but when people ask me for, hey, can you describe the text on this page? I'll definitely use that. That's one that I put on reports, but usually that's more of a request from the users.
So it sounds to me that you can, in a sense, put two camps of where text lies in a visual, in any data visualization platform or tool, where you have the context, which I'm going to say, Seth, you're kind of referring to like a title and a visual, the X axis, the Y axis. Like, how do I know what the Y axis is? Okay. It's the total sales, the X axis. That's our product categories. And that's really the title of the page. Those are all the context, the helpers. But then we're talking about this story side of it, where we're kind of helping navigate the road, where a lot of text really makes the road, I think, to me, more direct, or at least more, there's one way to go. But a little text can at least help the user in understanding what the story is about. To me, I think there are two separate buckets of the role of text. Would you agree?
I mean, when I say context, I'm not talking titles, right? Okay. Like, we've simplified down to the point where it's like, I think in generic reports or things that internal users are very familiar with, you probably don't need much more than the title or mm-hmm. the report name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's enough because you know your business, right? In other areas where you're developing reporting for external users, it's a lot more difficult to convey some of the things that we've talked about a lot, right? What are the questions that this report is designed to answer? Like, how do you use it? Because you have to, you know, work towards your lowest common denominator, right? Somebody who has no idea how to that you can right click on something, or mm-hmm. that the visual is interactive, because a lot of things aren't. And then we talk a lot about the purpose of the report too, right? So I think what I was more referring to is there are context hints that sometimes I'll embed near a visual, or to outline a key filter slicer, right, that I may not have in other areas, to help a user guide them how to use the visual if it's more complex than just like a bar chart that they can filter across, right? If it's a drill through, if it's something that they can make a bookmark selection and change the visual, right? I might have a text box that just automatically shows up, as well as having an icon, right, near a visual that will provide more context, because I need to highlight a paragraph or define mm-hmm. that some of the measures that are in this graph are harder to understand. So you need to outline, like, this metric is calculating these specific things, and that means this to you, right? Like, mm-hmm. those are the types of things that I think text in general can narrow or help us tell that story within the confines of, like, something that we may know really well, but we need to be cautious that the end user understands, you know, that as well as we do.
Yeah, I think I like this, what you're saying there on those points, Seth, and I think I would echo more of that, right? I liked your analysis of, does the user understand the data that's used to make the report, right? If the user understands the data set to a much tighter degree, I think you're talking more like an analyst person. Probably you need less text and more visuals and more key, you know, picking out things. It's probably easier for that individual. On the other end of that spectrum, you have people that are consuming the data from your report, right? They're just looking at it and they're trying to consume everything from there. And I think I like that point a lot that you made there, because I feel like that's where you increase the level of text, because there's two kinds of reports, I think, that do this, right? The infographic type ones, the one we talked about earlier on LinkedIn. And then there's those reports that are like, you know, director or VP and C-level people in the reports, right? They're not as in tune with all the data. They need the key bullets. What are the main milestones? And that's where you use text to explain those things. Or in your report, you're talking, here are the key insights for this page or for these visuals. Here's what we're trying to answer. Because I feel like there's a problem, or maybe not a problem. I feel like when I have built reports, or when I'm working with teams that build reports, I'll be the report. I know what I'm building. if I don't clearly communicate that to the external users consuming the reports, there's always additional asks around, this report needs this. I can't find this information. I'm trying to get this out, because they don't understand what we built. And, you know, hey, we're trying to answer this question. This is the question. This is the insight we're trying to deliver for this visual or this page. If you're trying to answer other questions, it's not this page. That's not the context of this page. So I feel like that's another good place where I use text to explain, like, why you're here.
I'm actually really surprised. Like, I agree with the conversation here, but I am a little surprised that we didn't start with titles and data label, like, in the actual visual itself. From my experience being in this space where I need to improve on, and the one thing I always overlook the most is usually the auto title and a visual, or just not having the most.
It's a really good point.
Yeah, the most appropriate.
Start at the beginning, always delete the automatic title.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
If you have tooltips, forget it. Yeah.
Why is this
8 lines? But having those little parts of a data visualization, not necessarily the story side of what the how important the title is. And it goes back to what you guys said. We are intimately involved with what visuals and the hierarchy and what's in a certain visual, but the user has no idea. And even if we say sum of sales by product category, well, you know, in some situations, neither of those terms are pretty defined for a user in the organization.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And like, all the story stuff is obviously great, but to me, I think that's almost ahead of the game, where the foundation here is in our visuals themselves. Are we providing that, to use your word, Seth, context for the visuals that we're displaying, and how important those are? Because like I said, I've been burned by using not an appropriate title, where it was an assumption. Like, I had a pretty general title, or, you know, and people had no idea what the visual was showing. And there was frustration, there was confusion. And because it wasn't something explicitly clear to them on over what time. Is this trending? Is this historical? Is this, you know, what is that? Was it, what's a tier, you know, right? Or what's a subcategory?
Okay. So there is some things I think I want to glean on what you're talking about there. There are some like things like buzzwords or terms and things, right? Again,
yeah.
I feel like when you're talking about these kind of concepts, Tommy, you're talking like, I'm the report builder and I'm giving this to an external audience. Like, you're not, you know, internally when you build reports for yourself, you kind of understand how that works. You know,
I'll
data looks like.
I'll keep auto titles on all day.
No problem. You know what you're getting down to, like what the meat of things are. But when you look externally, I think that's where you have to look at the report and you have to really like, I forget the guy's name. He writes in the analogy, the data to ink ratio. I've talked about this before. Have you guys heard of that before?
Data to ink ratio?
Mm-hmm. Have you?
I've not heard this.
Hold on, let me. Data.
It sounds familiar, but I don't.
I think it's Tufte, T-U-F-T. This defines this data. It's a famous. He's an informational expert, essentially. He builds data visualizations, and so Tufte explains there's this concept of you want to convey as much information as you can with the least amount of ink, right? And I actually teach this in one of my classes. I think I say, think about, you know, in a distant dystopian universe, there is a financial crisis. And all the price of ink you can't get from other countries goes up really high in price because the tanker trucks are all stuck out in the ocean and you can't get stuff into your country. And you know, imagine for whatever reason, the price of ink starts to skyrocket for printing things off, right? Your company works in paper, right? So, you know, ink used to be, let's print a printed piece of paper. It cost you $100 or $1,000 to print a page of information now. And that ink becomes incredibly valuable. And so what you're trying to do is you're trying to optimize how much information can I put on that sheet of paper using the least amount of ink as possible. So removing distractions, not putting colors that don't match, you know, looking at the report page and stepping back and say, how can I make this as clear as possible? And so I think it resonates very well with my students when I do that in the class, because you really start thinking about, well, I have four different legends on this page. I've even like looked at and reviewed people's reports. All these legends say the exact same thing, or it's just simple things like that. But like, does that text really need to be there? Right. I can clearly see that this is a time axis because I see that there's dates and March and April's on the bottom. And like, do we really need to label the X axis dates or time or calendar? Like, we kind of know that it is. So I will intentionally remove text from the report so that I force the people to look at the data and try to remove clutter. So they look at it and say, okay, the title will carry most of the weight of what's going on here. This is sales dollars, but over time, right? That's the title. And I'll remove the X-axis label, but maybe I'll leave the dollar amounts or in thousands or whatever that is on the units there on the X-axis, on the Y-axis. I know you're going to have issue with this one, Tommy. I see you already
rambling up for it. Now a very Power BI specific feature here that I run into having to do with the dates. So I love that there's an actual formula to this. It's not just someone saying ratio. It's like, no, I actually have a, you know, total ink use proportion of grass. Yes. There's a whole,
Like when you right. Google this one, it's a really interesting concept because he's really getting it. He's like thinking like, okay, what information, like he's going down to the idea of like, does that single pixel convey more or less information about what you're looking at? Like, even like this can go like
the non-erasable ink.
Correct. Like even like other things like dotted lines across the x-axis on a chart. Does that add more value than not having them? Tick marks on the x-axis or y-axis. Is that adding more value? Or I mean, this is like very minutia level things, but
being this speaks to iteration.
Yeah. Right? Like totally.
And taking the additional effort above and beyond. I'm done.
Yep.
Right. Boom. Ship it.
Ship it. Yep. But right, but there is that need for that too, though. There is ship it level things.
I 100% agree.
But this is why I think it was.
How often can you do this? How often is it part of your process where you're able to implement?
Yes.
The review.
I think it depends on the audience.
Well, it's not an audience thing. I think you should be doing it all the time. Mm. I'm asking how often do you actually do it?
Take the time to review back.
I mean, like every report that
is
I do.
Is it part of your process where you're like, okay, I'm gonna eliminate, or is it just so ingrained in you that you're like, yep, okay, blah, 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 blah. It takes me five minutes.
So I would say I've done it enough.
Some of that is easy.
Some of that's easy, yes.
Legends, simplification of titles, making sure it's not cluttered, correct. You know. But then there's the, okay, I'm gonna shelve it and come back to it in a week when I forgot, you know, that I worked on it. Now I'm looking at it with fresh eyes through the spectrum of what am I trying to convey? Because you either need multiple people, right?
Yes.
Where somebody has the fresh eyes, correct, that can look at it through the lens that you're describing.
Tommy uses his wife for this.
To remove this.
I'm seriously.
It's true. Tommy's
like, hey, come
She's
look at this.
All up in Power BI.
Come look at this report and see what it's doing. And like, here it is. Like, does this make sense? Does this even make sense at all? So, like, I mean, I think it's a great test. Like, someone who just
to this day, her first reaction is, "Why'd you use those colors?" Like, don't worry about that right now.
But that's every. But that's every report that I've ever done. Like every report, like I build, is like, "Why are those colors like that?"
No, yeah, but I think time you out. Drive towards. I think you drive towards a really good point, though, right? Like in that context and using text, you're saying, "Go with the minimalist approach."
Start right? there.
You're starting, you can start verbose, right?
Yep.
But do you absolutely need to have the text on the page?
Correct. Yes.
Or can it be a flyout? Or can it be a hoverover?
Yep.
Or can it be whatever the case may be?
Yep.
Or does it really need to be on part of the page? And that's what correct. I was saying. I was using an example of like a specific slicer or something that would allow me to change a calculation by moving a slicer, right? Like that is not as intuitive as all of the 99% of other slicers or filters you're using on the page. I might want to call that out, but it's very limited use cases where you're actually throwing a lot of text on the page.
I'd agree with that.
And to that data ink ratio and the minimalist approach, that's not necessarily, there's actually an interesting thing here where it's actually like criticism of the principles. And they've done studies where people actually do not prefer it. And can also
don't prefer what?
It. the data to ink, the minimalist approach.
People are entitled to their preferences, but I'm also gonna invoke but here.
You're also wrong.
No,
what I say about this in a different podcast. Everybody's entitled to your opinion. I just don't care.
I mean, you're entitled to not like it that way. You may want it to be very spelled out for you, but like I would argue, like if I'm the more things I add on the page, either the larger the page needs to be, or we're moving more towards like a different type of report. So like, this is why I think it's very important for you to classify, like when you're talking about these reports, identify the audience and identify how long they're going to be in the report and what do they need to do with the report, right? If you can identify those three things up front, you can then clearly say like, okay, this is an analyst person. Okay, we can have more labels. Like they can handle more cognitive load because they're regularly used to looking at visuals and things. If I'm handing it to like an executive, a VP or director, they don't have time to read every little thing on the page. They want red, green, up, down. Like that's very clear. Like I think that kind of report is there. And then you get into this like other way. It's like an infographic thing where it's exploratory, right? It's these like, you know, it's just, I want to click around. I want to see funny thing. I want to see it look appealing and move and, you know, or animate to some
hard,
degree.
Or it's hardcore analysis. Right?
Or, yep, like exactly.
Right.
For example, without getting into details, like I've seen some of what my wife is looking at in her job, which is very analyst heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And
tables upon tables.
Power BI reports, but other systems. And it, like, I look at this screen and I'm just like,
What am I even looking at?
It would take me days to figure this out.
Yeah.
And it has. It's taken her weeks, right? Like, she's trained on everything. But
once you get there,
when you're that person.
Yes.
That knows all the buttons.
Yep.
They're there for a purpose.
Correct.
And you're using them all.
Yep.
Right.
It's different when you're under the microscope.
So there are cases, right, where
yep.
a report may be way busy because
totally
that's
fine.
What that analyst needs to
yes.
find the answer.
But that's, again, that goes back
to
like.
Is it ideal? Is it like, is it the executive summary report? No. Right.
Yeah. I would agree. But again, this is know your audience. This is like, can they handle it?
Right.
Okay, I want you to define. I'm going to do a Seth thing and ask you a Great. Question I already know the answer to. So,
you think you know the answer to it?
Yeah.
I want to see you be me. Be me. Go. I want to go.
Mike, define or Mike, define audience for me.
Any
good start. Good start. So
define when you say audience. Give me your definition.
What do you mean
in this context?
So when I'm talking audience, I'm talking purely the people that are looking at the report, right? Whoever, when I publish the app and I bundled my reports together, the audience is the team I share it with. That is the audience of that report.
So I'm going to take that a step further, especially when we're talking about context and this data ink ratio. I think there's another layer here on their competency in being able to view visuals. I'll give a perfect
no question about that. That's part of the audience definition, right?
And I think you have to accommodate the full spectrum because that's never gonna. It's not just marketing, right? It's gonna you're gonna have people who have been used to using visuals and people who are very.
How do you play that game?
There's
though?
A growth.
You have to play the middle of the road on that one though. Not necessarily. Yeah,
right?
There's two approaches. Maybe you take. You take the lower end approach, and you say, "What is
the dumb page and the smart page?"
If you're dumb, look at this page. If you're smarty, look at this page.
You just have the normal tab and advanced. Somebody clicks on advanced, and they go, "What?" I don't know what that means. You're like, that's why it's advanced.
Low level.
Yeah. There's a question.
We never say low level.
There's a question.
It's just normal.
Yeah. There's a question in the bottom right hand corner. Do you understand this report? Yes or no? If you click no, it gives you a single chart. It's a pie chart with some stuff on it. Here you go.
Jeez. I'm going to get all my reports.
No, it just converts everything to a pie chart. Right?
The whole page turns into pie charts. Are you happy now?
Yeah. There's a question in the chat. Why are you guys still talking?
Oh my gosh.
I got to add this to all my reports. Yeah, the dumb and the smarties.
You're dumb or smarty. That's what you get in the report. Oh my goodness.
Well, I'll give a real concrete example though, where where we assume things, and I gotta catch my breath, man. That was great. But we make these simple assumptions where we don't expect people to ever raise a question with. You raised the thing where we don't have to add the x-axis when we're dealing with the dates.
Yeah, you label it. You just don't have to label it that it's dates, right? It would, you know.
So if you have the hierarchy and the way Power BI works, this is like a very functional feature of Power BI. Depending on how many dates you're showing, it may not show every month.
Sure. Which,
or the quarters, right? If you have the hierarchy, it's going to show the start of the month.
Correct.
For users, and if you are dealing with the hierarchy with the drill up and drill down, I have heard, not in one instance, but across companies, across years, where users were thrown off by this, where they're like, is this the quarter or the month? And they're like, it's really hard to notice. And again, I've heard this in multiple instances where they were asking, they're like, I think you need to show every month if we're doing the month one. So we added instead the title to the x-axis.
Well, so that's different though. So in that respect, in that example specifically you gave, you're changing what's on the x-axis. Yes, it is still time, but the units are different when
units
you drill up and drill
based on the hierarchy.
So in that case, I do think, so this is, I'm not saying this is my universal rule, this, but like when you change units on something, that will confuse people, right? And so even on a y-axis, you need to have some, like there's got to be some units there. If you're going to go from millions to thousands and on a chart change, you've got to lay that information, like that's important information now.
It's two different things, right?
Like, yeah, I agree.
Same date when you have dates, like
when it's continuous,
not,
or categorical.
Not needed.
Yeah,
right?
Not needed.
But if you're going
quarter month,
and you
don't
have any context,
that will throw people
100%.
Off. 100%. I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. So I would say, like, you know, to me, what you're doing there, Tommy, though, like, so I would say in that situation, if you're using a drill up hierarchy and you're now changing the context of the aggregation or, you know, the units on those either one of those axes, for sure you got to label it. Yes, 100%. Mm-hmm. It has to be labeled. You would not want to leave that out. Or you're doing something like a dynamic text title that's actually detecting what that is, and the text title is saying, you know, sales over time by quarter, sales over time by month, right? You're making that title
or the
change.
Title.
Yeah. It has to change. Something has to tell the user, like, what is that? What am I looking at on that axis?
And those are the little things, whether you call that data ink, minimalist, or context, that are so we can easily, and I think too often we overlook, because we just assume, like, well, we know that's month. But for someone who's looking at that for the first time, if it's that continuous way, it's not showing every single month, a user may be thrown off. Or how do they know that there's a hierarchy there, right? Like,
well, that's more of my problem here, I think, with this whole situation. Anything with hierarchies, not easy to work with. Not easy to work with. And the discoverability of Power BI and how they do the visuals that drill up and drill down, also, I don't think is very well implemented, so that's easy for end users to do that. I mean, one of the bigger YouTube videos that we have out there on Power BI tips is how to use drill through in a report. There's a lot of hits on that video because people don't understand how to just, this is not how to build it, this is how to use it. To me, there's a need there where that information is not as readily available as to how to use certain features, whether going drill up or drill down. So I think there's a lot of value, I would say, in like, so these are starting to verge on the area of when do we add text to communicate how to use the visuals? And I think, Seth, you made this point earlier, right? You know, what does this visual show, right? That's a question that is typically needed to be explained, I think, for each one of these visuals. So a process that I follow is I go out, we do a whiteboarding session. We talk about all the insightful things you want to do with the report, the data. And then once you've written the insight, you write down, okay, now that I know the insightful piece of information, I need to know sales over time. And then right behind that, you write down, what is the action you will do after you've looked at the insight? Okay, sales are up. I'm going to go on my merry way, go buy an extra latte. We're happy, right? If sales are down or I see a dip that I'm not pleased with, what my action is, something, right? Go to talk to this person or go dig down deeper or try to get to another report that shows me what's happening at that dip in that point, right? Those are your action items. And once you define those insights, you can then craft a visual that answers that insight. And so I think that's where you use like the tooltip help question mark button, where you can add in your own custom text about that one visual. So that way when you're using the visual, there's a little help icon. And then in that text box, you actually ask the question, what is this visual showing? You know, what does this visual mean when it's red or green or whatever? You know, like if you're using color to indicate some sort of value to that report, it's important to add tooltips to that. So that way when other users are consuming it, this is adding a lot of text, but now it's adding text, I think, in an appropriate way where you can then explain why that visual is there and how to read it when there's color applied to it.
I think that drives towards another part, right? Mm-hmm. Like we've discussed, like, what are the questions we're asking, right? What are the answers this report should be providing to you?
Correct.
But that's the third part also, which is like, what are the insights, right? Like, what are some insight examples as you as a customer might find useful? And those are different, right? Like it's question answer, but there's a lot of nuance, I think, in some reports that is really good to call out in a, you know, separate report page or, you know, something that provides an end user more context if they want to go dive into learning more about the report and some of the things that could be good examples of insights you could glean or scenarios that you would be going through as a business that you would analyze this report and look at these things, which would tell you X, which is what I think you were kind of driving at with that conversation point.
That's kind of where I was thinking.
So I'm getting three layers here, and the first two I think we've really defined well, and it's almost to me like the building a house where that we have to have the fundamental, which is the context, the titles, the labels. I think we could all stand a review like just
the
fundamentals.
Can you back up a second? I mean, you almost had it right. Like if we're talking layers, right? Isn't this more like a tiramisu? Like how many layers are in that? Right? Like, is that more than three? Like I think
depends. Depends who's making it. So they got the lady liquor, fingers,
the coffee. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So let's think about this in lasagna context.
Oh, lasagna. There you go. Now you've got my attention.
The version or the Ranieri version.
Bring it out. Bring it out.
Yeah. So we'll do the Christmas one, and this is the three layers. Actually, it's five, but there's a fundamental here where I think regardless of what report you're building, regardless of any report, whether you're going to be doing the full PowerPoint one or you're doing a operational one, if you cannot command the context in a report, we're failing. And like, this is something we have to master as BI analysts, as BI authors, that ability to write a title. And Mike, I need to review this again. I know ICBS, the International Business Standards, or IBC.
Oh,
yeah.
IBC.
They have a whole thing on titles. Super I need good. To review this again.
Yeah.
On, they have a standard for how to write a title.
Yep.
And I think I need to honestly review that and apply that. Consistent too. This is something we did not also talk about, but now as we continue,
man, we're really getting into it now.
I
really like IBCS.
Yeah,
I mean the International Business something Standard.
And this is a whole other.
They've got a great way of doing it. It's clear text. It's easy to understand, and they're doing even like very nuanced things where they're like, okay. You know,
if you have this, apply
if
this
you have this, bold this. If you have this, then apply that. Like, but this is like the stuff. Like, I think this is stuff that if you're a BI person, like you should have a copy of IBCS on your desk, period. And you should have at least read through most of it, or at least skimmed through it to a degree where you could know what's going on. Because a lot of times, I think we come into these reports thinking I've got to figure this stuff out for the first time. You don't.
And this if stuff's we're already, not be, yeah.
This has been studied and people have developed this stuff. And this is like clear communication of like international business standards. Everyone should be able to use this standard across multiple countries and understand data at a similar level with this kind of stuff. Right. I think it's great.
Yeah. I think across all the things we're talking about, but obviously with the context, how important is the consistency too, right? It's like, if you have a great title here, but not applying that here, in another report, that's not going to help anyone.
Mm-hmm.
If we apply that consistency. So I'll kind of drive forward with the three layers. We've talked about two.
Yep.
Or actually, we've talked about all three, and I do have an analogy that I do have to bring up that I find very appropriate. But context is our foundation. You can't build a house without it. And I don't think we can build any report without mastering our titles and our labels and the appropriate use cases for that.
Yep.
We've talked. And then the next part, do you guys ever play Zelda?
Oh, I love Zelda. Which one? I've played all of them.
64.
Do I play video games?
Tommy,
we're in the tech space, Tommy.
I know.
That was the college.
All right, and with this, we're going to close up the podcast in early.
College, where it was like, your grades are really slipping. Like Ocarina of Time, man.
Ocarina of Time.
Have you heard of it?
Oh.
Wait. Okay,
that's
good.
Exactly
so,
what I'm referring to.
Totally random side note now. Now you totally derailed me. So, Seth, your college days.
This is what happened when we do a late night.
Your college days, what was the video game in college for you? What was the main one you think you played most in college?
FIFA.
Todd?
Friendships were lost.
It was Zelda.
It was Zelda. Which
100%.
Which Zelda though? There's Zelda, a lot of Zeldas.
Ocarina of Time. N64.
N64. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we would do a Blockbuster, my buddy, because you know, like we didn't have money to own it, so we'd rent it.
Oh.
But the thing is everything was saved on the cartridge, right?
Yeah, it's saved on the cartridge.
What my friend did, he would mark the one that had the highest saved one with the red marker on the back.
Oh my God.
So then when he would go to rent it again, he would look to say, okay, this is the one, because there's nothing worth starting at the beginning.
Oh, heck no.
And let's go now. We're going to bring it full circle. So, and you'll see there's actually a point here. As much as I love Zelda, a point of any video game, and we talked about reports as a data application, right?
Yeah.
There are two big text pieces in Zelda. The very unnecessary one, you're like, no, I didn't mean to talk to that person. You know, like, son of a gun. Like, you had
dialogue,
to leave the room.
Dialogue.
Yeah, the dialogue. Oh,
yeah.
A.
Yeah. So, and it was unnecessary. Maybe there was something there, but for the most part. And then there was.
But it's pulling apart. It's pulling along the storyline. Yes.
But a random story. Or there's the one how to teach you to play the game. What was it? Mm-hmm. Navi?
Yeah.
The hey! Which was also annoying in different cases. Like, I know how to shoot an arrow. Yeah. But at the same time, when we think about text, I think we can fall into the trap where we're like, we need to add all these labels and all this text where it's kind of that unnecessary. What is that purpose? Like, I don't need to talk to the folks. I don't need to get into this, but also helping that user along the path, right? Not just all the text at one time, but almost thinking like a game designer. You don't show the user how to play the entire game all at the beginning.
Correct.
You show them the basics, and then as they progress, and it's understanding the user's experience, but also understanding where they're at in the game.
So
where I'm getting with this.
Yeah, I love this. So I'm gonna have to build reports now that start off at level zero. This is a bar chart. You click the bar and things change on the page. You know, and then you have to keep clicking around the page until you find a mystery something on the page. And then when you click it, it'll go to page two. Page two of your report. Now, welcome to page two.
And all the while in the background, you have music going. Dun, dun,
dun. Do they have the audio so when you click on the right thing, it's like, da, 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 and a little treasure chest.
We
have
rooms
GIFs now, right? GIFs. We have
yeah,
GIFs.
Yeah.
We can do it.
The rooms I loved the most in Zelda was when you walked into the room and they had like the three choices. You could buy things there. And I was always like loving, like, you go into the room and you could buy the three items off the table there.
That's it. Get Phil Seymour on the line. Let's do it.
Do it.
Right.
Well, the level
Build the entire Zelda game inside decks.
Let's go to our other favorite topic, though. I think you have to tie this back to your adoption, too, where if you're introducing Power BI for the first time to a whole organization, you do start with the basics. You don't start necessarily with drill through right off the bat necessarily. Or if you do, there's a lot more helper text, right?
Yep.
There's a lot more of just how
you're that's where you're, I think you're driving into proper training and expectations that you start to have, especially with internal reporting. So you can start building more advanced things with an expectation that as users come into the organization, you have a repository of like, hey, you may not understand this, but go watch the 4 hours of video and you'll know exactly where we are.
Yeah.
Like That's an onboarding.
Actually, yeah. Yep. Actually, this probably leans better into the thing that we haven't titled yet, but it's probably a good idea, is the targeted operational analytical, where you have almost different feature sets and helper depending on that purpose. If it's targeted, you can have a drill through, but that's not the story, the main story. That's like the side alley where the real purpose of that is the what you see. But what you need to see.
Even deeper than this, like I'm thinking right now, you guys are saying drill through, and drill throughs right now is causing a lot of headache in my mind right now. I'm totally hung on drill through at this moment right now, because I'm thinking, like, if I had a report page that has four visuals on it, which visual has drill through? You don't know. Yep. And so now you play the rando click right click everything game until you figure out what has drill through in it, or have to put your cursor over every single thing until you find which one hovers the icons that use drill through. I feel like what we need is, like, to IBCS standard type things, we need an intra-company standard that says any visual that has drill through comes with a gray background. Everything else is white.
Ooh.
And so now there's like a single visual on the page that has a visual indicator to it. I don't know.
What happens when features change? Are we going with the colors of the rainbow? Or
I have no
clue.
There's
some data ink for it. I don't know. You're going to increase your ratio, buddy.
I'm just thinking through
have a visual indicator that tells you that
this visual
a special feature.
Correct. Special feature visual.
Right. Well, in the past, that's painful. It's
painful.
I've done like
tooltips. You can
on,
do it
on pages. Well, not tooltips, like a bookmark on the top of the page. Yeah. It's more of a self-guided, yep. Right? Sure. So it has bubbles that show up around visuals and say, hey, this is, you can, this feature functionality is applied to this particular visual.
But yes, like, correct.
It's a slow. Lot of extra work on top of.
These are the things though that I think make report. So we talk about like, Microsoft has the 5 minutes to wow on these reports, right? Okay, yes, I can build stuff in 5 minutes, but if you look at how Power BI is designed, 5 minutes to wow is for the developer. Like, there's not the experience that they talk about is not 5 minutes to wow for the report consumer. It's 5 minutes to wow from the guy who models data, brings it into Power BI, dumps it on a page. I've got a visual. Sweet. Let's move on. Like, there's a whole lot of other considerations here that should be just auto-handled. Why aren't we doing a lot of those things automatically?
I think they used that moniker too soon, right? Like
7 minutes to wow? Almost 10 minutes to wow?
Honestly, like
15 minutes of styling and then
one of the things,
to wow.
No, one of the features that they just released on May 20th on the blog, exportable formatted data tables. Like literally can go in.
Okay.
And
I didn't even talk about this.
Click.
Yeah.
Click.
Yeah.
Grab me my columns.
Yes.
Export the
table. Done.
5 minutes to wow. That is wow for a business user.
Correct. But
that is 5 minutes to wow.
Okay. We've been talking about this though for like months now. We've been talking about there's two use cases for data usage. One of them is like, I'm going to the report to look for an insight. Tell me what to do. The other of this is I just need access to the doggone data. And that's what Paginate Reports is. So now it's all built into the service. And this is solving that. This is solving that second problem of, I just need the data. Just give it to me. I don't care. Give me the columns. Let me pick what I want. Spit me out the Excel file. And that's what this addresses.
So we need to do a full podcast on what we, like the challenges of data access and why this is such a cool feature. We should just talk about that feature alone, right? Because if you talk about distributed data systems and
challenge everywhere. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
Problems like everywhere.
It is a daily conversation.
Yep.
Somebody can't access it.
Can't get to the data.
I have 80% of the data. I need this. That's over here.
How do I get it?
Right? Like
100%.
Having it in a model, having 5 minutes, that's 5 minutes to wow.
Five minutes to wow.
Chris Finland, right? The guy's legacy lives on. I read it on his tweet. Apparently this was in the works for a really, really long time.
Yeah, but they didn't do it until we started talking about it. So that was
another thing we've influenced. Yeah,
I'm sure.
This is a feature directly from the Explicit Measures podcast. Right. We will take credit for this one.
We need better. We need more tables and better.
More tables. Better tables.
We need to make the tables.
Who needs
more
them in a report?
We
want.
Don't. Yeah. Just give me the data.
Goodness.
All right. Noted for another topic to ensue on further conversations. challenges of data access. I think that's a really good one.
Topics for days.
I was going to just see how long the quietness would rest for that moment there. Tommy had to break the silence.
Well, we went off on a rant. I can't go back to my previous point.
Okay, yes, we can. We bring it back.
Where
in.
Are we at? I don't even know how you long said we've been recording.
I think
Context Foundation. Okay, we started talking about Zelda. GoldenEye was another
exactly
one.
Oh, right. GoldenEye. Yeah, I played a lot of Halo.
Okay.
GoldenEye, great. User experience.
So we'll save GoldenEye for episode 120. So I think my main thing I'm coming to hot job. Cheater. So, everyone under 25 is like, what are they talking about?
All right. Context foundational. There was training. Yeah. What's your third? What were the three points?
There's context.
Yep.
Driving the story, and then the helper side of it.
Yes. Okay.
And the thing I'll drive is, I think the role of text does change on the purpose of the report. Where if you do have a targeted report, what is prominent, it should be, like you said, up or down. This is doing well over the last 3 months. Correct. And that should be text. Where, again, to your point, an executive should go, okay. And then they shouldn't look at a bar chart to see what that distribution is.
Which department is down? Oh, this department is down. I'm gonna go talk to Tommy in his department because their sales are down. They said they're going to be, 50 million, you're down at, 45 million. We're not going to, and like, there's all this other kind of stuff too that goes along with these reports. Like, are you going to make the goal? Right.
Right.
Can you even recover from the deficit to get to where you need to be? In that amount of time. So there's even like some like back of the napkin math things you could do here that even help you with
project
like,
it to 95%, exactly, having that as a text.
Exactly.
Not
right.
even as a visual.
Exactly. So, right.
And honestly, that is data still. And that's probably the most impactful for someone who just wants to browse. They don't want to look at like, is it 75%? It's like projected to in red, 95%, projected to in green, 103%.
Correct.
That's all they want. That's the information that they need. And honestly, as much as we hate that stuff, because we're like, that's below us. Like, well, that's not data visualization. Yes, it is.
I don't know what I mean? But I don't agree with that last statement. I don't think I feel like it's beneath me. But I feel like it's that kind of stuff that I'm bringing to conversations with people. And like, I'm coming to the conversation and say, okay, you said you need to know, what is year-to-date sales? Okay. Why? Right. And like, have you thought about seeing year-to-date sales in a 52 weeks rolling? So you can see if you're flatlining or increasing or decreasing based on a 52 cumulative total of sales. Is that something that you're I'm challenging these like standard comments and saying, have you thought about it this way? Like one recent conversation I had with a client was there was a whole bunch of goals made up and there's a bunch of timings that were being captured. And so we have how long did it take you to accomplish the task? And then I have the expected time that it take you to complete the task. And you could just do like, other kind of metrics around there. But we went into this and said, okay, what we actually really need is the delta. What is the difference between your actual outcome and the expected outcome at the goal level? And then figure out where things shake out, because that was another calculation deeper, but provided a lot more insight. We can say, here's where we're weak. Here's where we're strong. Here's where we're ahead of schedule on a regular basis. And that made a lot of difference, I think, to the client in these areas. But like, I like that.
And
I don't think it's beneath us. I think this is what we're expected to do. We need to bring that kind of stuff to the table.
Yeah, but we need to think again. I'm realizing more and more my job is not to create reports. If that's how I'm going into my job, then I am not serving my purpose. My purpose is to provide impact and help people make better decisions through information. Reports just the medium, and however I can do that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
Well,
I agree.
That I agree with.
I'm gonna buy a Nintendo 64 now, I think.
Oh yes, you will. Or buy a Raspberry Pi and then you can just play them all you want. Awesome. Raspberry Pi, then you put Retro Pi on it. I've done that before, so that's been fun. All right. With that, I think we've burned through a hefty long. I thought this was gonna be a short conversation. We were like, we'll just get through this one pretty quick. But then Tommy brought in video games of my childhood, and that was the end of it right there.
We were gone long before that.
We were gone long before video games happened. Anyways, for those of you who have hung on with us for the full hour tonight or today or whatever, whenever you listen to it, we appreciate you listening. We really appreciate it. If you had a lot of fun, if you got a laugh out of this, if you love video games of the 90s and you also enjoy data and BI, please recommend this podcast to someone else who also enjoys video games of the 80s and recommend whatever minute mark we hit that at, 50 minutes or 45 minutes in. We appreciate it. Please like it, share it. Please hit the thumbs up button. If you like this content and you want to have more of it, please subscribe. We really appreciate it. It very much helps out the channel. Tommy, where else can you find the podcast?
Why do I feel like that Venn diagram is a 99% overlap?
What? Subscribe and hit the bell?
No. The Zelda and the Power BI. Like, if you like Power BI, probably play Nintendo 64.
I think there's a very high, I think there's a very high ratio there.
Yeah.
Hours and consumed of Zelda versus data and Intel. Like, there's a strong correlation here that the more hours matrix, played, the higher. Yeah, the higher the nerd alert on that one, I think, maybe.
Higher played Zelda, better at Power Query. Perfect correlation.
Perfect. 100%.
If you are listening and have no idea what's going on, watch live.
I'm sure Tuesdays you're not here right now if you're not actually. If you've gotten this far and you still don't know what's going on, you have left this podcast a long time.
Have a drink. Congratulations to you. So,
sorry. Start over again.
Jeez Louise. This is what happens when we record. Yeah. If you are watching, subscribe. We've also had this much fun on other podcasts, and I think over 100 at this point, 110, 112.
We've had over 100 funds.
Mm-hmm. We've all had over 100 funds with kind of the same idea. So if you like it, subscribe, leave a rating. It helps us out. And to Mike's point, if you think more people want these kind of conversations in this space, share it. Yep. We really appreciate it.
If you have a topic, go ahead and hit us up at PowerBI Tips/podcast. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.